started in
anything like me, Justice and Drew, they sure make quite a team. I could listen to them all day long. This is the sound of their show. This is the sound. I'm giddier than a schoolgirl every time I tune in. I can't wait for Sam to bring her top five. It's the best reason to get out of bed. It's time for Justice and Drew. It's time for Justice and Drew.
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Dilly Dilly.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday reunited edition.
It feels so good.
Of Justice and Drew.
It does feel so good.
Hey, that's Sam.
Hey!
She's back.
Hi.
It's Sam.
Hey, look at that.
She's got half an arm, but she's back.
I don't have half an arm. I mean, maybe after my arm falls off.
She's got like
infection.
That cyber vibranium arm that the villain had.
I know,
yeah,
right?
That.
You didn't even see the movie.
You don't know that?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, Sam, did you see Black Panther?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Thanks for asking,
thank
John.
You, yeah. We have got a jam-packed show today before we talk about how a dog almost killed Sam. on the show today, it is Tuesday, but Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty, will be joining us, powered by Randy's Electric. We will get kind of a rational look. There's out of the Washington Examiner, Byron York put together a piece talking about the indictments of the Russians that broke late in the week, last week. And so we'll talk to Andrew Langer about that. And he's actually, if I'm not mistaken, he's at CPAC. So we'll give us a bit of what's going on at CPAC in D.C. We will talk with Dr. John Lott. He's got an event coming up later this week. Foremost expert on guns, gun data, gun control. Timely having him on. Timely that he'll be coming to town. We'll have details on that. And then the 8 o'clock hour.
Kim Crockett from the Center of the American Experiment is going to pop in. And we've got a story about how Congress is recommending no funding for the Southwest Light Rail project.
I was so happy that we were reunited, and now I'm so sad.
Actually, not Congress. I'm sorry, the FTA.
I don't. You know, I don't really care who.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care who is saying no. It don't matter to
as
me.
As long as we're getting a no.
Yeah, exactly.
She'll fill us in on what's going on that just after 8 o'clock. And then at 8:35, looking forward to a conversation with David Gartenstein Ross. Again, we're going to touch back in on the indictments that came down on Friday and what this means for the whole Trump-Russia collusion narrative,
right?
Investigation going forward. Is it done? Are we done?
No.
You got the indictments?
No.
Are we over?
No, we're not.
Trump's in the clear?
I'm looking forward to that conversation with David, in large part because David has always been... We've talked with David about Russia meddling in detail before. Like, it was really interesting when they handed the indictments down and they were laying out, which we'll get into because it's just insane, these opposing rallies that took place and the Facebook pages and the fake Twitter identities. But David had talked to us about this many times before. So when they were reading the indictments, when Rosenstein was up there reading the indictments, I'm going, oh, yeah, well, David talked about that. And, oh, yeah, David talked about that. And David talked about that.
Yeah.
And we're going to get a bit of a preview. He reached out to us, and he's been using social networking less and less. And next week, and we won't get into it now, but next week we're going to get into another conversation with David about that. And in my opinion, that relates a lot to what's been going on in Florida, what happened with the shooting. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation with David.
But first, there was a big weekend for our president.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
He always tweets.
What now?
Oh, sh**.
Many tweets from our president to choose from.
Tweet storm.
But he had a lot of reaction to the indictments coming down. He tweeted a day ago, it was the goal of Russia to create discord, disruption, and chaos within the U.S. Then with all of the committee hearings, investigations, and party hatred, they have succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. They are laughing their butts off in Moscow. Get smart, America.
He didn't use butts, though.
No, he did not use butts.
He did not use butts. Foul language, President Donald.
Added, I never said Russia did not meddle in the election. I said it may be Russia or China or another country or group, or it may be a 400-pound genius sitting in bed and playing with his computer. The Russian hoax was that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia. It never did.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was the whole indictment and what it means right now, what it means for today, without seeing anything else, is it's really, really fascinating. I mean, we were talking about it quite a bit at the end of the week when all this broke, and it's amazing to me how much it really unravels the Trump colluded narrative, to the point where if you go on Twitter right now, people are using the hashtag. There's a whole effort underway to use the hashtag Trump colluded to make it trending number one, all in an attempt to annoy Trump.
Apparently, yeah. I woke up this morning and looked at Twitter, and Trump colluded was the leading hashtag. I'm like, well, did you guys not read the indictments?
Right. It doesn't matter.
Did you guys not pay attention? It's some former CNN journalist. You know, if Trump opens Twitter this morning and sees Trump colluded as the number one hashtag, maybe he'll just flip out and admit it.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah, good plan.
Oh, all these tweets. After all this time and all this pressure, but these tweets. I'll just cop to it now, guys. You're right. Me. I did it.
They got me.
You know, we're going to talk about it in a moment. You know who did collude? You know, Michael Moore colluded.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't know he was colluding.
Turns out he's a Russian bot.
We need a new hashtag. Did you collude? Hashtag did you collude?
The entire hashtag resist movement colluded.
Right? Yeah.
Really think about it. The entire movement behind the hashtag resist crowd was fueled by these Russian efforts.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
If you are part of that crowd, if you're part of Indivisible, if you're part of hashtag resist,
hashtag you colluded.
Hashtag you colluded. You're colluding.
Hey, Sam, you should take a picture of your arm. I mentioned it a moment ago. Yes. Sam got bit by a dog over
I
the weekend.
Did.
You should take a picture of your arm and put it on Twitter, okay, and then use the hashtag bit by a dog.
You could just tell because you can see like the jawline. Yeah. It's such a distinct bite mark.
You have so many unfortunate run-ins with animals.
I know. I should have taken a picture right after it happened because my whole arm was like blue.
Not wiping them out with your car,
then I'm getting thrown off of their bags. Yeah.
Thrown off
bones.
Of them and breaking bones.
And if that's not happening, I'm
getting attacked.
Yeah.
You need to stay away from animals.
And last night I got kicked by a horse.
If you look
at she says gleefully.
If you look at the secret history of Dr. Doolittle, you will find out that he also had as many animal injuries. It's just because he and also you spend so much time around animals. Yeah. It's a law of averages.
Mean, yeah, statistically, it's just more likely to happen.
Exactly. Just stop spending time with animals.
Is that story?
Spend time with humans.
Is that story in your top five?
My arm?
Yeah.
It is not.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we covered it now then.
Perhaps it should be. We'll get to Sam's top five stories that you need to know to kick off your Tuesday next.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew, along with Sam, your top five coming up here in just a few minutes. Hashtag, did you collude? Michael Moore colluded.
Michael Moore definitely colluded.
Long accused President Trump of colluding with Russians, posted videos and pictures of himself participating in a protest in Manhattan that was allegedly organized by Russians in November of 2016. When Rosenstein talked about the indictments, and it was this moment when he mentioned these opposing rallies and how they had two rallies on the same day that were going against each other. That was one of the like, whoa. And I immediately was like, oh, the news crews are going to find footage of these rallies. And it turns out Michael Moore was at one of them. He colluded. The government alleged in the indictment, signed by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, that the defendants organized a November 12th Trump is not, capital letters, my president rally in New York. Their strategic goal was to sow discord with the U.S. political system, the indictment said.
It's everything we've been saying on this show since the election. I mean, that's the goal. The goal wasn't necessarily to get Trump elected or to take down Hillary Clinton. It was to, and it continues to be, to sow discord and distrust in our institutions. And it's working magnificently. I mean, I can't believe that the people that are engaged in these protests and these movements and all this hashtag resist nonsense take the time to read these indictments and see what you're falling for. You are being used as a tool by the Russians to continue to sow the discord and the distrust.
He tweeted out a photo of himself at today's Trump Tower protest. He wouldn't come down. He attached a picture of himself posing with a large number of protesters. Approximately 25,000 protesters turned out in New York on November 12th, chanting slogans rejecting then-president-elect, according to NBC News at the time. Amid heavy police presence, protesters then marched from Union Square to Trump Tower. According to The Guardian, Moore has repeatedly claimed that Trump inappropriately colluded with the Russians. Look, Moore was unaware of this, obviously. So were the people involved. And that needs to be noted, right? It needs to be noted. And it's like you mentioned with the hashtag resist movement and how many individuals may have also unwittingly had been involved in this. That being said, right, he's also been wrong over his accusations, at least thus far, that Trump colluded. And he himself ended up falling into collusion by mistake. Right. It really does set up an interesting dynamic when you look at the arguments over this whole Russia, Trump and Russia collusion narrative. When you see what happened with these indictments, that Byron York piece that we'll talk about with Andrew Langer is really, really interesting, because the whole gist of it is that he wanted to do sort of a non-alarmist view of everything. And his conclusion is basically, we don't know what effect it had, certainly not on the election. Everybody seems to agree that it didn't have any effect on people going to polls. But his argument is Byron York, in his opinion, doesn't feel like it really changed anything all that much. I mean, if it wasn't Russians going and doing this, it could have been other individuals. But there's no way to really know how bad or worse or better the discord would be in the country if the Russians hadn't been involved.
And to your point that, you know, the people that were at this protest and at the other protests, they weren't aware. You know, we'll give them a pass for not being aware that these were all engaged by Russian trolls or instigated by Russian trolls. But going forward, you really have no excuse anymore.
Right.
You really have no excuse anymore. I mean, if you're going out and you're taking part in these things, it is up to you to do your due diligence to see who's behind all of these protests, and otherwise you're probably being used.
Yeah. Yeah, or at a bare minimum, potentially, you know, being used. And that's an interesting thing too. I know we got to get to the five, but think about this though. It's not just being used by the Russians either. Because what you see with the unions and these organizations, you look at the Fight for 15, they're doing the same thing.
It's the same tactic.
They don't really care about getting $15 for people. They just want to sow, you know, discord. They just want to cause chaos. It's the same thing with what's happening right now with this hashtag never again nonsense in the wake of the Florida shooting. They don't really want to change anything. They just want an argument against the GOP and want people to vote more Democrats into office.
That is the time of the day when Sam has been in there scouring the internet, compiling the top five stories you need to know to kick off your Tuesday.
Number one.
The Florida school where a gunman last week opened fire, killing 17 students and teachers, is set to reopen in phases starting this Friday. From Fox News, when school opens on Friday at 8 a.m., the entire day will be dedicated to attending to staff members' needs. There will be support services available, and on Sunday, there will be a voluntary campus orientation for students and parents. The district said it hopes for classes to resume on next Tuesday. The classes will be on a modified schedule. The suspect appeared in court on Monday for a procedural hearing about how legal paperwork would be handled in the case. Nicholas Cruz, he's 19 years old, said nothing when he made his first in-person appearance in Broward County Circuit Court. A previous appearance had been by a video connection from jail. But Cruz, wearing an orange prison jumpsuit, kept his head down and did not appear to make eye contact with the judge or others in the courtroom, though he did respond briefly to someone on the defense team. It was a pretty tense atmosphere. He was surrounded by Broward Sheriff's deputies as news media members and lawyers watched from the gallery. The hearing concerned rules that will govern how documents are sealed. And Circuit Judge Elizabeth Scherer said that she was in favor of openness whenever possible. His lawyers have said that he will plead guilty if prosecutors agree not to pursue the death penalty, and no decision has been made on that.
I say take the deal. In terms of the pleading guilty for no death penalty, take the deal. He's going to get, you know, multiple life sentences anyway.
Oh, sure.
At 19 years old,
yeah.
That's pretty much as effective as the death penalty. Go ahead. Don't drag this out. If he's agreeing to plead guilty, then I would say take it.
I want to make everybody aware right now that that is the most that you're going to hear about Nicholas Cruz throughout the rest of the day. Not from this show, but from everywhere else. Because we're not talking about the shooter who actually did this anymore. We're talking about the children who are a part of this hashtag never again movement that are all being used by pawns, and I gotta pull back.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Because it is. It makes me sick. And we have audio. We have audio of these children from over the weekend who are being paraded out in front of the national media, who are more than happy to play every single little bit of sound from them because they're all anti-Trump, anti-NRA, and the whole thing is just disgusting and gross. It really is.
On another note, before we move on here, how tough is it going to be to reopen that school and go back to school and work there or attend classes? I mean, I don't know how you would ever achieve any sense of normalcy in that building ever again.
It's funny you mentioned that. I thought the same thing when Sam started her story, and there was a part of me that went, and I know it wouldn't happen, and I'm not there. There's a part of me that went, man, they should really just go right back to school. They should just, or take a few more days off and then get right back into it. Don't, you know, maybe make services available, but don't change anything. That's because I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Aside, it's funny how much we know about places like Broward County when you go back to Hanging Chads. Every time Broward County pops up in the news or any of those Florida counties, it always reminds me of the election cycles we go through. And it's the only reason why I know. In Broward County, they're still counting Hanging Chads.
We will continue with Sam's Top 5 right after this.
Justice.
If you search the hashtag TCNT for Twin Cities News Talk, I just retweeted a quick addition to the five before we get back into the Sam's Top 5 here on Justice and Drew. I love this story. The Winter Olympics featuring 2,951 of the world's greatest athletes, and also this woman. Apparently, there's this this woman, Elizabeth Swaney. She's an American skiing for Hungary. She figured out a way to get on the Hungary Olympic team, the Hungarian Olympic team, mm-hmm. for skiing. And then she went and competed, and it's the most mediocre thing ever. It's so great.
Just an average skier.
It's so great. It's so fantastic. Like, she went for her run. It's la, la, la. Wee. Now, I don't think you or I could do what she's doing. That still seems difficult.
I would have fallen.
Yeah, but
I am not an average skier.
By skiing,
I am a less than average skier.
Funny side note, it's a GIF file that's attached to the tweet. I didn't realize it was a GIF when I started watching it. And I was like, how long is this run?
This is endless.
It keeps going.
Why, it's going.
And I went, oh, it's a GIF. It's a GIF file. Yeah. I'm dumb.
Really good GIF editing, though.
It really is.
Yeah, when they can get it right at that perfect loop moment,
it
works really well.
Like, man, this is like the longest of, maybe it's an endurance, downhill endurance. On
the longest hill ever.
Our D.C. correspondent, Andrew Langer, will be joining us just after 7 o'clock, powered by Randy's Electric. But now we did leave off in the middle of Sam's Top 5.
Number 2.
Trump has offered support for limited effort on background checks. From Channel 5, at his Florida club just 40 miles from a community ravaged by the shooting that left 17 dead last week, Trump gave a nod toward a specific policy action, with the White House saying he had spoken Friday to Senator John Cornyn, a Texas Republican, about a bipartisan bill designed to strengthen the FBI database of prohibited gun buyers. Sarah Huckabee Sanders qualified the support, stressing that talks continue and revisions are being considered, but said the president is supportive of efforts to improve the federal background check system. The main action Trump has taken on guns in office has been to sign a resolution blocking the Obama-era rule designed to keep guns out of the hands of certain mentally disabled people. And according to the story, the president has voiced strong support for gun rights and the National Rifle Association. The bipartisan background check legislation would be aimed at ensuring that federal agencies and states accurately report relevant criminal information to the FBI. It was introduced after the Air Force failed to report the criminal history of the gunman who slaughtered more than 24 people at a Texas church.
And that's fine and good, and it's not the most it's far from the most controversial effort being made to strengthen our gun laws, but knowing what we know about the FBI and how they utterly and completely failed in this instance regarding Nicholas Cruz, you know, okay, fine. You're going to more accurately report the relevant critical information to the FBI, but where is the oversight and assurance that the FBI is going to start doing a better job with the information that they've been given?
That's why, for as frustrated as I get, and I am, the movement and the narrative that's erupted out of this and these kids, and we'll talk about it later on, and we have audio, it really does annoy me, to say the least. And a part of the reason why it annoys me so much is that we actually do have, in this particular horrible circumstance, specific things that we can look at where the system failed, where you can actually go and look to improvements, especially when it comes to the FBI. We have all the, it's not like what happened in Vegas.
Right.
We have all the information. We know who did it. We know what kind of person he is. We know how often he made his intentions known. We know all the failures that ended up leading to that horrible day. And yet, oh, it's the NRA and the blood is on the hands of the NRA and anybody right. that's ever given money to the NRA or owns a gun.
The existing laws that we currently have should have been enough to cause some interventions in this particular instance. The fact that the people in charge of enforcing those laws failed doesn't mean there's an argument made for more laws. It means we need better people running these institutions.
Yeah.
Number three.
Congress has punted the fight over Dreamers to March.
Oh, and then there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck on trying to get all your gun control.
They're like me. They procrastinate. From the Hill, Congress is poised to kick a heated immigration fight into overtime with no clear path forward. This writer really likes football puns. With the Senate rejecting four proposals, including President Trump's preferred plan and a key bipartisan deal, and no viable backup plan in sight, lawmakers are poised to hit pause on the issue until at least next month as they go back to the drawing board. It's a stark contrast from just a week ago when senators had hoped to gain momentum coming out of what they anticipated to be a freewheeling floor fight. Instead, both sides are pointing fingers and raising fresh questions about what, if anything, can win over two deeply divided chambers and the White House. Paul Ryan is now pointing to the end of March as the deadline for his chamber to take action on an immigration bill. He's pledged he will only bring up legislation that has the president's support, making it a non-starter for many Democrats. He also called an initial March 5th date an important deadline, but added that it's not as important as it was before, given the court rulings.
Yeah, and the left now has a brand new narrative at which to go and target Republicans in what took place in Florida, and the attention will now be off Dreamers as they go and they use this other avenue to try to go and push their agenda and message. And look, I hate to be painting with that broad of a brush, but it's true. It's absolutely true. The other narrative now is going to dominate the headlines. Gun control is now back out there. They're basing everything off emotion. They've got something brand new that they can go and try to make the GOP look horrible and awful. And it drives at the heart of, Drew, what you've been saying and what we've been saying all along. They don't care about the Dreamers. If they did, they would have done something about them a long time ago. They don't give a rip about the individual that they supposedly are fighting for.
Nope, they're just pawns in this game. That's all they are. They are pawns in this game, and they're going to punt it until March, and they're going to punt it even further. They're going to punt it so that they can use it as an election issue.
Number four.
Viewers are slamming Fergie's national anthem performance at the NBA All-Star Game as the worst rendition ever.
I think she...
That was like the last kind of good part.
Through the night. No.
Don't cheer for that. Don't cheer.
No.
Don't clap.
Please don't clap.
Can we stop it now? Can we please?
The problem, she didn't realize she didn't have
the... want people to listen to this show.
Unfortunately, Fergie, formerly of the Black Eyed Peas, didn't realize the auto-tune machine wasn't turned on.
Right. Terrible.
That's what it sounded like. It sounded like she was trying to do the auto-tune that usually makes her sound good
right. In
all the Black Eyed Peas songs, and it wasn't there.
It just wasn't. Nope.
It was a failed effort at stylizing the national anthem. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Sing it straight up. Sing it straightforward, and everybody will be fine. You try to stylize it. You try to put a little spin on it.
Yeah.
It's already a tough song.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's already not like the most melodic song.
Right.
It's you know, don't make it worse.
If she came out and, by the way, and said she wanted to do something special. Well, she accomplished that. She didn't say what brand of special. If you go, the one I remember the most, we don't have the audio, was the one the lead singer of Stained tried to do the same thing. I don't know what event he was at and just absolutely butchered it. If you want to go and push new legislation, let's push legislation through Washington that requires that the national anthem, when sung at sporting events, is only done by country music artists.
That's the most fun.
Yeah. I don't want a band doing it. I don't want an opera singer doing it. I don't want a pop star, just only done by country music artists. I'm good for America.
America.
Number five.
Black Panther hit the box office with a record shattering $235 million this weekend.
Just a juggernaut, man.
Yeah.
Made all the money.
Good.
You guys saw it? I haven't seen it yet. Worth
it? Was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It earned all that money.
Okay.
It's a good movie. The anticipation was sky high for this movie. And the hype was sky high, and I'd say it definitely paid off, and it was worth it. It lived up to the hype.
Yeah, and it was different. I mean, obviously, I completely understand and agree with the cultural significance of it, and a lot of people have been quick to go online. We've talked about it. I think we talked about it a bit on Movie Talk last week, about how there have been other black superheroes and lead actors that have come before this movie, but the reality is, this is different because this is one that has grabbed on to, into the zeitgeist, right? It's a cultural phenomenon, and so it is a big difference. This is a huge movie, and everybody has gravitated towards it, and because of that, it is very culturally significant, and it was really, really fun to watch.
And I can't say enough positive things about the way that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has played out and what a good job it does in sort of setting the table for the next movie and setting the table for the new characters. You know, this Black Panther character was introduced in Captain America Civil War. And it was introduced in a really cool fashion, and it took a lot of people by surprise, you know, and it was like, oh, wow, that character's really cool. And it was a pretty central key figure in that movie. Without that, the anticipation for the Black Panther standalone movie wouldn't have been
right.
What it was.
And
they know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing a great, great job.
And to some of the, and we were talking about this before the show, to some of the controversies around it, there were a couple of articles written up saying, you know, politically charged, and there's been pluses and, you know, positive articles and negative articles written about that. The truth is, it wasn't. It was just a really good, significant, rational storytelling. And it was
as politically charged as it needed to be to make the characters' motivations make sense.
Like if I hadn't, like if you'd stripped all that away and I hadn't seen anything, any commentary that there was anybody talking about this in any sort of political sense whatsoever, I would not have walked out of that theater even doing what I do thinking there was any political overtones to it at all. It was really, really enjoyable. And the villain, we were talking about this, always the hard thing in these superhero movies to get the villain right, because a lot of times it's just throwaways. boy, the villain was fantastic. The
villain was credible.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of these like superhuman gods that there's really, if you think about it rationally, there would be no way for the good guys to beat.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the flaw of like every X-Men movie.
Right. Right. Yeah. Apocalypse, whatever.
Right.
They're all going to get together and kill him in the end anyway. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It was a good, credible villain that had flaws and had shortcomings that the heroes took advantage of.
Yeah, he was motivated, and he had good reason to be motivated. That's what I really liked in the story.
Really good movie.
Black Panther set records for a February opening and for a President's Day weekend debut. The previous record holder was Deadpool, which made $152 million domestically over the four-day holiday in 2016. Black Panther is the fifth highest domestic opening weekend of all time, behind only Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Star Wars The Last Jedi, Jurassic World, and Marvel's The Avengers that came out in 2012. Critics and audiences are pointing two thumbs straight up. Black Panther landed an A-plus audience rating from CinemaScore and a 97% fresh rating among critics on Rotten Tomatoes. That makes Black Panther, directed and co-written by 31-year-old Ryan Coogler, the most well-received superhero film ever, Marvel or otherwise.
And this Ryan Coogler, man, he's putting together quite the resume.
Yeah, Creed is great.
Creed
is good. Yeah. Creed is so good. Yeah. You know, and look, we need movies like this because when you have movies like this, they do well and they do this good. It extends the shelf life of the theaters that we all know and love and go to. And it just means that we're going to get more movies like this. And that's just, it's a plus all the way across the board.
Yep. Well done, Sam.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. Welcome back.
Excellent
top five upon your return.
Thank you.
From the website commondreams.org, a national student walkout is being scheduled because nothing has changed since Columbine. Students and teachers are calling for nationwide school walkouts. This particular one sets the day of action for April 20th, the 19th anniversary of the massacre at Columbine High School. The Twitter account National School Walkout, which started Friday, declares we are students and we are the victims and we are change. There's also going to be a march in March for the students in the Florida shooting as well.
You know what? You know why this is not going to be effective? Because the schools are going to be complicit in it. If you're going to do this, what you should be protesting against are the schools themselves that haven't taken action to make them more safe, to make them safer environments. The schools are going to be complicit. They're going to go along with this. The teachers are going to walk out right with the students. They're all going to have matching T-shirts. They're going to be excused absences. So the entity that you're effectively protesting against is joining in on your protest, and it's not going to accomplish anything.
We have just real quick, and we'll talk more about this later on next hour. I wanted to play this a quick piece of audio. This was making the rounds over the weekend. This is Emma Gonzalez, 17 years old, from the Florida school where the shooting took place. She's now become sort of the front person of the children that are speaking out, demanding action. Here's some audio from over the weekend.
Those talking about how we should have not ostracized him. You didn't know this kid. Okay, we did. We know that they're claiming that there are mental health issues, and I am not a psychologist, but we need to pay attention to the fact that this isn't just a mental health issue. He wouldn't have hurt that many students with a knife. Gilded House and Senate seats funded by the NRA telling us nothing could have ever been done to prevent this. We call BS. We say that they say that tougher gun laws do not decrease gun violence. We call BS. They say a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. We call BS. They say guns are just tools like knives and are as dangerous as cars. We call BS. No, they say that no laws could have been able to prevent the hundreds of senseless tragedies that have occurred. We call BS. That us kids don't know what we're talking about, that we're too young to understand how the government works. We call BS.
We'll get into, was Emma Thompson again, 17, excuse me, Emma Gonzalez, 17 years old from the school. We'll talk more about this next hour. But she's the one who's out there first and foremost and sort of rallying the troops and the other children behind her. She needs a rational adult role model, needs a loving and caring hug, not a microphone, in my opinion.
Andrew Langer from the Institute for Liberty, our DC correspondent, powered by Randy's Electric, joining us next. Justice in